Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Please hear the word of God. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit to another faith, and the same Spirit to another gifts of healing, and by that one Spirit to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to yet another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another to the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark. It is the lectionary text for this week. It's Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Again, let us hear and attend God's word. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Now the people were all amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over that region of Galilee. Again, may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. If you would, join me in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for being near to us. And in this quiet time together, as we divide God's word, as we open your Bible once again to receive your truth, open our hearts and minds to receive it. Indeed, inspire me by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in love. For this all we ask in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our topic is authority this morning. Those who heard Jesus that day at Capernaum said he spoke as one with authority. And when he commanded the evil spirit, his authority was heard and the spirit left the man. The people had never seen that kind of authority before. This scripture lesson reminded me of a time many years ago. Before I went to seminary, I was just beginning to feel God's call. I was managing a Presbyterian church camp in a remote area of Western North Carolina. It was there that I helped to pioneer and establish a fire station in that remote community. And fire station led to an emergency medical group as well with an ambulance. So I became an EMT. So one summer day, as I was working at the camp, I received a call from the dispatcher on my pager. Now, children, you'll have to ask your parents about what a pager is. I know that you don't know what that is. Yeah, these were in the days before cell phones. It was a way that we could be reached. So I got the message that there was a man buried by the collapse of a ditch in which he was working. The scene of the accident was not far from where I was working that day, so I rushed to help the man. I arrived at a field of tall grass and jumped from my truck looking for the ditch that had collapsed. I couldn't see the ditch, but I had no trouble finding the man. I heard him crying out, "Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus!" I followed the voice and found a 15-foot deep hole in the ground and a man buried up to his armpits in dirt and mud. Now, being the first one on the scene, I rushed to the man to assess his injuries. I have to add this disclaimer. If you ever find yourself in this situation, the protocol for first responders is not to rush down into the ditch, because these ditches are known to collapse even worse. But my initial assessment of the situation was that this ditch had collapsed to such a wide degree that any further collapse probably wouldn't threaten the man any worse or myself. So I went down to him. I checked his pulse, monitored his breathing, and he continued to speak these words, "Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus." It was clear that he was in deep shock. I found out later that the force of the falling dirt had pinned his leg against the pipe and the leg had broken, and so he was in some pain as well. In the next few minutes, as I waited for more help to arrive, I began to dig the soil from around his body to help him breathe better. And his chant changed from "Help me, Jesus," to "Thank you, Jesus." These minutes seemed like hours, and honestly, his chant was getting on my nerves quite a bit. The minutes seemed like hours, and dirt continued to fall from the side of the walls of the ditch, so I worked frantically to remove it as much as I could from around his body. All the while, he kept this chant going, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." It went on endlessly until help did arrive. And after shoring up the walls of the ditch, according to first responders protocol, we were able to take the man out of that ditch into the hospital. He was treated for shock, and the bones in his leg were set in a cast. I never saw him again, but to this day, I can hear his voice pleading, "Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." It haunted me, and I wondered, did Jesus actually help this man? I never saw the person who called 911 that day. Whether they were just passing by, I do not know. It would seem unrealistic to me that someone would just leave the scene. But there was no one there when I arrived. And then as I dug, when he began to thank Jesus, was I working with Jesus to rescue this man? Whatever the answer to these questions, it was clear to me that this man believed that Jesus had authority over his life. In that state of shock, he called out the name that he associated with power to help him survive a terrible situation. It was clear that this man looked to Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I'd been on many 911 calls with people in the same state of shock. Some cried out to their mothers. Some cursed their situation. Others were quiet. I even had one man dying of a severe heart attack tell jokes in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. But this man cried out to Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul taught the Corinthian church that no one can call Jesus Lord unless the Holy Spirit enables and empowers them with faith. Behind such faith is a conviction that Jesus Christ has the authority and the power to intervene in our circumstances. Our lesson from Mark's gospel illustrates that authority in two ways. First, in that Capernaum synagogue, he read the scriptures and interpreted them on his own authority. Remember that usually the rabbis would refer to the authority of another rabbi or a biblical scholar to justify their interpretation. Jesus made no such references. Jesus interpreted Scripture on his own authority. People recognized this. This was extraordinary. This is something that just didn't happen. Then, just as soon as they began to wrap their minds around that kind of authority, Jesus casts out this evil spirit, an evil spirit that had recognized him, identified him. It was clear that Jesus had this extraordinary authority, way beyond any that was generally shown by the scribes or the teachers of the synagogue or the rabbis. Jesus had authority that people had never seen before. He took command. He took command of the Word of God and he preached it with conviction. He took command of the evil spirit. He silenced it and cast it out of the afflicted individual. It was clear that Jesus was no ordinary teacher or prophet. Those others relied upon authority conferred upon them by the religious establishment. No, Jesus carried his authority in himself. He took command of situations presented to him and used those situations to highlight the power and glory of God. Think about all the situations where people came to him for healing. He didn't heal everybody in Israel. He didn't have access to that many people. But those who were brought to him, he took authority over their situation. And what that says to us is that is the proper use of the authority that is depicted in our Bible. Think about it. God gives authority for different kinds of functions. As the Apostle Paul said, God gives not only gifts, spiritual gifts, but God gives the authority to use those gifts to depict the power and the glory of Almighty God. In his authority, Jesus preached the truth of God's love. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and he raised people from death to life. Now, as I said, he couldn't do it to all, but he did to those who were presented so that he would demonstrate the power and glory of Almighty God. Now, Jesus conferred that same authority to his disciples. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to empower that authority. The disciples of Jesus were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, but more importantly, they were able to tell the good news of the gospel with authority. People listened to them because they spoke with authority. Jesus has conferred that same authority on us today. Yes, we have that same authority. But how often are we using it? Yes, we're so very often hesitant to take that authority and demonstrate the very power and glory of Almighty God. In the situation I described at the beginning of this sermon, I was called to a man whose life was in danger. I had authority as an emergency medical technician trained by the state and as a firefighter to intervene on his behalf and save his life if I could. I could have chosen not to assume that authority. I could have stood by at the edge of that ditch, waiting and hoping that someone else would come along who was willing to take the full authority over the situation. Such a decision would have placed that man's life in further jeopardy. Now, I think the same is true of the authority we have as disciples of Jesus Christ. Life presents us with many situations where we can assume the authority to make a difference and demonstrate the power and glory of God. However, we can choose not to assume that authority, to be another bystander, and hope that someone else will come along who's willing to speak up or to do what needs to be done. But we have to be willing to take the responsibility that in doing so, we place others in jeopardy. And we ourselves fall short of our calling in Christ to go out into the world, to tell the good news, to be the good news. There are many ways that we can take authority. I think the first one as Christians that we want to take in our lives is the authority over sin. One of the first things we as Christians receive is the gospel of Jesus Christ that says his blood and by his sacrifice our sins are forgiven. Not just a few, not just the select ones, but all our sins are forgiven and blotted out by the blood of Christ. Now, as a pastor, I'm keenly aware that a lot of people continue to beat themselves up over mistakes they've made, over sins they've committed in the past, and they continue to live a shame-filled life. When in reality, by the power of Jesus Christ, we are set free from those sins. To carry them along and to continue to shame oneself is to deny Jesus Christ and to deny the authority that he has given us over sin. The same is true for all of the ways that we might be tempted to sin. Think about situations of anger. Think situations of envy. Situations of jealousy. You think, this came over me and I have no power over it. That's not right. Christ has given you authority over those temptations. You have authority that just as Christ said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to Peter, you have authority to say to any temptation, "Get thee behind me," by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many ways that, and so many things that Christ has given us authority over in our church, in our lives, that we do not take hold of. So I encourage you today to think about, what is your authority? What kind of authority do you carry with you? And in just one moment, I'm going to help us exercise one more authority. And that's our authority over the suffering of others. Of course, that's the one that Jesus exercised the most in his ministry. So it follows that we should be doing the same thing, right? So help me in these few moments to exercise our authority in prayer over the suffering of other people. Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that Jesus gives us authority to heal the sick, to cast out the evil, to live fully committed lives, to be set free from sin and death. Help us to assume that authority. And Lord, you give us authority over the illness of others. The well-being of others is in our hands so many times, yet we forget to pray. So hear us as we pray today for our dear friends who are in need. We pray for Freddie Collins, for his continued well-being. We pray for Donnell Correll, that you would continue your healing in her and set her free from cancer. We pray for Larry and Brenda McPeters. We pray for Dan Koutsos, for Ruth Jean Slayton. We pray for Brian Rainey, for the suffering of the loss of a brother. We pray for the Ferguson family who have lost loved ones. We pray for Judy Jerez, and we pray that you indeed continue to deliver her. We thank you for the good news we received of her hospitalization, but we pray for her well-being and a complete and utter healing. We lift up the family of Ellen Holt, Jim Ludke's friend. We pray for Kim Albert as she is overcoming the results of a major surgery. Indeed, lay your healing hand upon her. Grant her, indeed, a miraculous and strong recovery. We pray for Carol Foster's nephew and his family. We lift up Troy Johnson, who has fallen. We pray that you would heal those vertebrae in his neck. We pray for Terry Hazelwood as she has fallen. We're not sure of the extent of her injuries, but we pray again for your healing and your strength for her. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority over these things, that you hear our prayers and you act upon our prayers. We give you thanks, O God, in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Now hear us. Hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.